Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Are you thinking about starting a podcast but don't know where to start? Let me take a second to tell you about Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast across a plethora of listening platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the big ones. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. And best of all, completely free. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, do yourself a favor and check out anchor.fm or download the app to get started.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality with Shane Jones.
Hey guys, and welcome to another out there episode of Inquiries of Our Reality, number 88 to be exact. I'm your host, Shane, as always, and thanks for tuning in. But before we get into the show, and I do have a really good show, as usual for you guys, like I always do, you know, I try to find the best people and the most interesting people to talk to, and that's what I try to present to you guys. But before we get into that, if you guys don't mind dropping me a review or rating on iTunes, on Spotify, anything, always appreciate it. That's one of the things that can help the show grow. Also, word of mouth, if you have any friends that are into this type of conversation or any weird topics, if you don't mind dropping the name Inquiries of Our Reality or Open Minds Media or Bizarre Encounters, any of the plethora of shows that I do, it's always appreciated. And if you're not already doing it, come and follow me on social media. I'm mostly active on Instagram for pretty much anything that I do. I also do have a Telegram set up for Inquiries of Our Reality, and if you're not already part of that, it's starting to build up. We're starting to get some more people talking on there, so it's always going to be a good time once we get everything rolling. It's just a matter of time, and you know, just getting everybody to hop in, and feel free to have the conversations, because I feel like a lot of people will hop in and feel like they can't talk, but I want to hear everything that you guys have to say, so feel free to come and talk all you want on the Telegram. And if you're not already checking it out, go and check out Bizarre Encounters. That's my other show that I do with Ghost from My Third Eye. It's our specific alien, paranormal, cryptid, all that fun stuff. Bizarre Encounters. I mean, the name kind of fits it. So just go and check it out if it seems like something you might be interested in. Open Minds Media, if you're not already checking that out also. It's kind of the umbrella for all the stuff I do. So that is Inquiries of Our Reality, Bizarre Encounters, Bite-Sized Bizarrities, Big Dumb Inquiries, all that fun shit. And There might even be more in the future. Who knows? So definitely go and check that out. And if you're not already subscribed to the Patreon, I did add some new tiers to that. There is a $3 tier, a $5 tier, a $10 tier, and a $20 tier. And there's extra little features for each of those, so definitely go and check those out. And with the Patreon, it's the Open Minds Media Patreon. So rather than just getting inquiries about reality or whatever, if you come and check out that Patreon, you get all four shows that I do. And if I add any more in the future, you'll also get those. So it's more bang for your buck. Don't just get one show on Patreon when you can get a plethora of shows. So go and check it out. And if you want to donate to the show in a different way, I am also set up on Ko-fi. I'm set up on Anchor, which is my RSS host. So, you know, whatever you're listening to me on, going all the way down to the bottom, there'll be a little thing that says support on Anchor. You can click there and you can donate if you'd like to. I also have Venmo, Cash App, and PayPal set up. If anybody would like to, you know, donate some money for some kombucha or some upgrades to equipment or just keep building it up. So eventually, hopefully, I can do this as a full-time thing. Anything is appreciated. I don't want to put anything crazy behind a paywall. I'm kind of trying to do the value for value concept where, you know, I'm going to put out a bunch of content for you guys and I'm not going to split it in half in the middle, do anything like that. You know, just if you appreciate what I do and you got a little bit extra, you know, just come and support it. And it's always appreciated. And of course, I'll give you guys shout outs on the show if anybody wants to come and support the show. You can also support the show by picking up some merch. I have the Open Minds Media not just the Patreon, but Open Minds Media merch store. So there again, just like the Patreon, you can find all the shows that I do, a bunch of different logos for all that fun stuff. There's hoodies, there's long sleeve shirts, all that fun shit. Should be adding some more stuff on there. Just tell me what you guys might be interested in, and I'd be more than happy to add it to the merch store. And if you're not already doing it too, go and check out Crypto Theology. My buddy Joe over there, he's always putting out some awesome designs. He's got just endless amounts of them. I mean, they're awesome. If you haven't already checked them out, I'm always posting on the on my pages just a bunch of pictures of me wearing the different shirts. He has a bunch of parody shirts of a bunch of old TV shows, of movies. There's even the Bizarre Encounters collab, which is a Mortal Kombat reference where it has Ghost and I on the, and all the other playable characters are cryptids. So a lot of cool stuff going on over there. And there should be some more awesome collab designs going on in the future. So there's a little tab there now for Open Minds Media. So yeah, just go and check out Crypto Theology if you haven't already. And I know that, you know, if you've been around for a while, I've been talking about it for a while. So I apologize if you've already heard the spiel, but I really do like Joe's design. So honestly, guys, go check it out because he's not a sponsor of the show. He's a friend. We've teamed up here. So it's not like we're making money off each other. We're just supporting each other because we both like what each other do. So the best thing you guys can do is also try to help support him because that's the only way that we're ever going to get anywhere is with support, man. And that's the only way that anything grows is with support. And with that, everything that I've mentioned, all available under the link tree. The one for Inquiries of Our Reality is linktr.ee/inquiriesofourrealitypodcast. And if you want to check out Open Minds Media, that link tree is linktr.ee/open_minds_media. And with that, welcome to the show, Declassified Dave and Mystery Mike from Hush Hush Society. How's it going, guys?
It's going.
Doing well, sir. It's going. Thanks for having us.
Definitely. Yeah. Glad we could finally arrange this because I feel like we had a little bit of bouncing around at first. Then we kind of like saw each other in passing but never really made everything work. And now we finally sat down and made it happen, man.
The life of a podcaster.
Holidays are a crazy time. Yeah, life of a podcaster. That's true.
Ain't that the truth? So I guess for anybody that doesn't know who you guys are, why don't you guys give them a brief idea about like what you guys do, what your podcast is all about, and I guess what got you started doing what you're doing?
Mike,
sure.
Mike, head up to the plate on that.
All right. We're Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour. Myself and Dave and our third co-host, Slick Frank Sanders. We do a weekly to bi-weekly show where we dive into conspiracies, cryptids, mysteries, true crime, cults, just a little bit of everything, fringe science, and just do a deep dive and find as much as we can, whether it be just regular research or diving into subreddits. We have a whole Reddit section for every episode. And then we have series where we interview with author, TV personalities, and anybody that kind of we find interesting. And that usually fills out the odd weeks for when we don't have a regular episode. So, yeah, and we, you know, We're pretty much everywhere that you can get podcasts. We have a video podcast also on Rockfin. Just look up Hush Hush Society and find us everywhere, hushhushsociety.com. Easy peasy.
So I guess a good starting question is, what kind of got you guys all together? Like, what made you guys kind of form and start off doing what you guys are doing?
Mike had a show for a while, which was a movie podcast in late 2019, throughout 2019. And then the pandemic hit. He had some co-host things and moved on to something else. So we decided to make this show. Mike and I have known each other for just pretty close to 20 years. So we've known each other for a while too. And
shit.
Frank, Mike knows for a long time.
Yeah, I'd say a long time.
Yeah, forever.
Little known fact, Frank is...
Yep. Yeah.
So I've known him for a bit. But yeah, we all were kind of, like Dave said, I was part of a podcast that was kind of drowning. My co-host had left, and Dave came on to do a guest spot a couple times, and he said, hey, you know, if you want, I'll fill in on this, and, you know, we could do movies. And I said, no, you know what, let's do something new. Let's just whole new dynamic, whole new show. We brought in Frank, and it was just a natural movement towards just these things that we're pretty much always were interested in. So it kind of came naturally. It wasn't really one of those things where we had to think a lot about what we were going to cover, what we were going to talk about, or what the show was going to be about. So,
yeah, it's been a natural evolution from what we thought we could kind of pump out in the first season, first couple episodes, to now. I don't think either of us thought that, like, we would have what we have now, how many episodes, how much content, how many minutes, and how many more ideas we still have. We have like 2 more years, right, of dates, right, like lined up for our episode. So we're always busy. And but yeah, no, it's very natural with us. We didn't have, I think the hardest thing we ever had to do was create a name that wasn't taken.
Dude, weirdly enough, that's one of the hardest parts.
Yeah.
We, even the name, I think, kind of came easy for us because it started off as a joke. It was a much longer name. And of course we just shortened it, but I don't think that was even difficult to come up with. Really,
it would have been fun to write that as a .com though. Every word.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What's, it was like 20 something words.
What's the full thing? Do either of you guys remember it offhand?
Declassified Dave and Mystery Mike's Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour featuring Slick Frank Sanders and the Mollywop Band. We originally had an idea to have like puppets playing at the end, like it was a talk show. But you know, we're not Muppeteers, so it never worked out.
You just got to have enough sound effects. That's the trick.
That's all it is. Yep. That's all it is.
So
teddy bears and a soundboard.
Yeah, literally. So I guess what are some of like the biggest topics that you guys felt kind of like grouped you guys together? Like each of you guys, I guess, might have individual things that you prefer, but like what's your guys, I guess, prefer topics to get into then?
I think we can agree on a lot of stuff. But for me, starting off the show, alien stuff, UFOs, and 9/11. I think that was a big one. JFK too was one of the ones that we all were like, we got to do this. And right when we started the show, the Epstein stuff was happening.
Ooh.
So we had a lot of fuel and ammunition to start the show with current events too.
Yeah.
Was that when the original thing was happening, right? Not like when they were trying to make that documentary where they're purposely leaving a bunch of stuff out on purpose to try to like steer the narrative, like most documentaries that they make.
No, this was like, hey, we're doing research for this Jeffrey Epstein thing, and he killed himself 2 weeks ago. So it was right then, yeah. But I think, it's kind of weird. It was like one of these off episodes that I think really brought us together was Titanic. Mm-hmm. I think the Titanic episode was just had a comedic factor. I think we were kind of coming into our stride with the show. We had covered some interesting stuff up until then, but I think that was just, I don't know. I think it was the first episode that felt flawlessly easy to do with all three of us.
Well, I haven't really talked about that one too much on my show. So, I mean, if you guys want to give a little brief rundown of that whole conspiracy, I know that there's a few different ones that I've heard, but I'm curious about what you guys covered exactly.
Yeah, we covered the Rockefeller connection, the Federal Reserve. So there was supposedly very rich elite people that were on the Titanic for that maiden voyage,
or supposed to be on the Titanic and didn't go last minute too. Yeah,
dun dun dun. Yeah,
and apparently they were you know, against the formation of the Federal Reserve, and some people say that the ship was sank on purpose just to you know, kill those people off in what seemed like an accident.
So do you guys go into the whole idea of explosives possibly being on the boat, or are you talking about like an iceberg and it was like steered directly towards an iceberg?
I think we talked about explosives. I think there was one little aspect where we were like, or there could have been a bomb. But I think what was the main focus of it is that the Titanic wasn't actually the Titanic. It was the Olympic, which had already been into a couple accidents previously before Titanic was allegedly supposed to have its maiden voyage, and that it could have already been weakened, and somebody had claimed that they had counted a certain number of portholes and that on the Olympic, and then there was, I think, a couple less on the Titanic, or vice versa, and somebody in a picture had noticed, well, that looks different, but that says Titanic on it. So one of in the scheme of killing off all these people, it could have just purposefully drove it into an iceberg. And because there was, what was the name of the ship, Mike, that was behind them, or that was trailing them for miles and miles and miles, and it had like 2,000 life jackets on it with nobody aboard?
It was I was trying to think of the name of the ship. But the Olympia actually had gone through a coal fire also. Previously, as one of the accidents, there was a fire down in one of the engine rooms, or where they have like the coal holds underneath, and there was like this massive fire that made the hull of the ship brittle. So there were thoughts that if they did swap it out, it would have been the perfect ship to do it. It was already in this crappy condition, essentially. Just throw out on paint job, put a couple letters on it, and you have a ship.
So what was supposed to be the intention of the ship behind it that had all the life vests on it?
That was the suspicious part, was why were there about 2,000 deaths or 1,500 deaths or so? I think the ship had a little over 3,000 people on it, and they had enough life vests tailing.
Just for the people that they wanted to make survive it. So, because I'm assuming the idea is too, is that you have to have some people on there that were on the other side of it, because then otherwise it would have looked even more suspicious if it was just all the people that didn't agree with the Federal Reserve.
I don't even think they made contact with that ship either. I don't think that ship like came.
That was the rescue ship.
Was it the Carpathia?
That was the rescue ship. That sounds familiar. Yeah,
something like that.
It was apparently the ship was something like 100 nautical miles away.
Yeah,
it was very close. It was in this. It was in the same kind of making the same route, same trip, but it was an empty ship. They said that it was a military ship. Then they said it was a transport ship, but it wasn't transporting anything. And then when the Titanic had actually gone down, there were, you know, the ship had shown up conveniently pretty quickly because it wasn't that far away. So it really all depends on, I guess, who tells the tale of, you know, what they believe with those two ships.
it's one of those things too that as more time passes, the harder it is to really get to like the bottom truth of it, because the more people can put a spin on the story, more people can edit photos to make fit whatever they want to fit. And as you know, everybody has the last person that was a survivor of the Titanic passed away already?
They must have.
Yeah, they had to have. They would be like in their 90s or something, 90s or 100s now, right?
Yeah, because that was, what, 110 years ago or something like that? Yeah, so.
Didn't she have the diamond, blue sapphire?
Oh, the Hope diamond.
Say, that'd be the only way you'd really, you have to talk to somebody, otherwise everything else is just hearsay, you know? There's no documented anything from it.
I just read recently, it might have been on Reddit, but I think James Cameron just did an experiment to silence everybody about if Jack could have been left on the door and if they both would have survived. I didn't read into it, but he was like, I'm sick of hearing about it. That's what it seemed like the headline said. I'm sick of hearing about it. And they just probably put two people on a door and just saw if it floated.
Did it float?
I don't know. I gotta look into it. That was just, I saw it this morning.
It was a pretty hefty door.
It was.
They don't make things like they used to, man. Back then, you could hold two people with one door. Now you'd be lucky to hold one.
Well, most doors are hollow now.
Yeah. Ships are made a little bit better now because that unsinkable, unsunkable definitely got sunk.
So. Hey, that's a challenge, though, man.
Well, that guy in Italy definitely challenged it, right? A couple of years ago. ship captain, I'm going to crash this into some rocks and hop off the ship. Abandoned ship myself.
I'm the captain now.
Well, one thing we were talking about too was the captain of the Titanic had also, wasn't he the Olympics captain and had one of those wrecks?
He was the one that was the captain during those accidents.
Those accidents, yeah. And then we were like, well, why would he just go down with the ship? And we probably thought, I mean, if there's that many big powerhouses like JP Morgan and Henry Ford and the Rothschilds and all these big families involved, they probably just put a gun to his head and was like, you're dying either way, so go down with the ship. If, because we had thought that he might have had knowledge that was going to happen,
or maybe he's hiding anyway. In Argentina.
Oh yes,
could be. Hey, he got, speaking of Germans, there was the thought that maybe German U-boats had sunk the Titanic or hit it with a torpedo. They did something similar, I believe, years before with the, what was it, the Lusitania?
Yeah. Yeah.
They lose track of all these ship names.
I believe it was the Lusitania.
Yeah. And it had hit the Lusitania was a traveler ship. It had, you know, just people on it. It wasn't a military ship.
They're just hiding underneath. They just got the some kind of camo thing set up where it looks like an iceberg on the top, and they can just stand farther enough back, just shoot a little missile at it, torpedo, and be like, it was an iceberg.
I mean, it very well could have been a U-boat. It's definitely, I think there was a lot of plausible explanations that could have, you know, resulted in the Titanic sinking. And but we were, I don't think we were definite on what we thought. I think we liked the theories. The theories were fun to talk about, but it probably was just a real shitty accident. but it's more fun to talk about it if it's conspiracy related.
Very true. I like to entertain all ideas just in case, you know, like no matter what it is, no matter how crazy out there it sounds, like it's just fun to entertain it anyways, man. And then you just expand your thoughts on it and just get crazy with it.
That's how you go down the rabbit hole, man.
Truth.
Yep.
Never ends.
And it all goes back to the Germans. So that's one thing that we've always found with a lot of our conspiracies. Out of like 60 something episodes, at least 50 of them have to do with Nazis. And we're not even talking about Nazis. It just goes right back to it. We're like, ugh, more.
Speaking of
more stuff,
Nazis, we were talking about the secret space program before the show started, and I figured it'd be something fun to get into. And I don't know, at least from what I've heard, at least from a lot of the few people I've talked to about 20 and backs, there are Nazis involved in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mike read the, what was it?
Yeah, Dark Fleet. Dark Fleet. I don't know if you've ever read the book. It's called Dark Fleet. It's by this man named Len Kasten, and it's such a standout book. It's not really a super long book. It's a quick read, but it has a lot of interesting stuff about in it. And he talks about how Nazis had pretty much a space armada made up of flying U-boats that would go into space, and they were kind of in cahoots with alien, you know, extraterrestrials, whether it be reptilians or grays. And this was all kind of a thing to start a slave colony on Mars. You know, we're talking about, and this happened around between World War One and World War Two, mostly in World War Two. And there's even the thought process, and he says this within the book, that maybe even some of the Jewish prisoners were taken off world to work in these Mars enslavement camps. It gets a little sci-fi-y, but he also oddly backs up a lot of it with actual factual historical events and accuracy. So it's weird. He mixes in this hard concrete truth with these things that seem very outrageous.
That almost makes me wonder too, if theoretically, if that is true, if the ones that were getting tested out first for 20 and backs would have been like Jewish prisoners.
Mm. Yeah. So
it would have been when they probably started to start doing stuff like that, you know, because allegedly, what were they shooting U-boats to other galaxies, Mike? They were, you know, I mean, perfect, yeah, spaceship.
There's a lot of stuff to it. You know, the moon is kind of a way station, I guess you could say, or a rest stop on the intergalactic highway. You know, and a little bit of a spaceport too, because that would be the first stop of where they would, you know, stop their armada before they went on the longer trip to Mars to do these transports. And, you know, according to government documents, as he's seen them, they would have these space officers that they would name off with these very weird names. And, you know, that would be attributed to some sort of space armada and some sort of ship that nobody had heard of with these very, again, very weird names. Apparently, to what Len Kasten had said in the book, the reptilians were kind of like the supervisors of the entire workforce, and the grays were the peon workers. They would be the guards of the slaves on Mars. So kind of a hierarchy within the extraterrestrial races.
In that,
very, very odd stuff.
In that book, does he make reference to there being like a being that's outside of like our realm of existence? I had somebody on the show, it was a little bit ago now, it was probably a couple months ago, but his name is Tony Rod Riggs, and he was talking about this story that he heard when he was doing a 20 and back, that pretty much they were fucking with time, and they were trying to like make things happen in the aspect that they wanted it to happen. And these beings came and plucked this German lieutenant, or whatever you want to call him, out and threw him into a rat for 1,000 years, and then took him back and threw him back and pretty much said, don't fuck with time again. And then they disappeared. So I've been trying to find another reference to whatever this being or race is that's like outside of the time of existence, but I haven't found any other references to it.
That's the guy who turned into Chuck E. Cheese. That's what it is. Oh no. Yeah, humanoid rats.
Yeah. Just a rat robot for 1,000 years.
That explains why that place feels so off.
Yeah. His I mean, the biggest stuff, like Mike was saying, in mostly in the 30s, yeah, apparently the Germans contacted like the Dracos or like the reptilians, like you said. But that would kind of coincide with all of our, you know, serpent things and in ancient cultures, and then the devil itself. And I guess they they made a deal. I'm sure that there's been a couple of deals if this stuff is accurate, because clearly the U.S. government has made deals with probably something similar like the Greys. But they said that they came to our realm or in our existence to, you know, they harvest us, and it's called Lush, the spiritual energy that they harvest from us. And they thrive on negative emotions, physical pain. So it's a lot of the stuff that a lot of people have different names for it, but it, from that type of part of this part of the story that, you know, I guess Mike was saying, what was it? Galactic Federation. But is the Galactic, I guess the question is the Galactic Federation that part of the nefarious group? Are they a part of that, or is it something different? Is that the war that they're having?
I feel like anything that's involved in that is nefarious, if I'm being honest with you. And, you know, they're probably, no matter what group is involved, like they have their own intentions. You know what I mean? Like, none of them are really working together. They all have their dark intentions that they're trying to make happen. Like, none of them are going up there with like full hearted intentions of what they're trying to do here. It's all about conquest. Same with how everything happens down on the ground.
Yeah. Speaking about what you were talking about before with the different beings on a different dimension. So, if you look at the different classes of extraterrestrials, you have like the Greys, you have the Reptilians, you have the Pleiadians, and then you have what are called like Archons. And I think that's kind of what you're speaking about. So Archons work apparently on like the fifth dimensional plane. And they are kind of like emotional dark energy automatons that work for the reptilians. So there has been this massive war that's been going on for millennia between the Pleiadians and the reptilians. The Pleiadians, and this is all allegedly, obviously, with the story of Len Kasten and him backing this all up with some very odd facts. So the Pleiadians and the Reptilians have been at war for millennia. The Pleiadians apparently created us as some sort of test subjects to protect the realm of Earth. I don't know if we're doing that great of a job.
Definitely not.
But yeah. So to protect the realm of Earth, and because the Pleiadians and the Reptilians both work on the fourth dimensional plane, the Reptilians can't physically interact with us. Archons, being on a fifth dimensional plane, also can't physically interact with us, but they can interact with energies and vibrations and stuff like that. So the reptilians are essentially using the Archons to inject this dark energy and this overall attack on our collective consciousness across the planet to leech that shitty feeling. So they create, the Archons are creating this dark, bad feeling within us. And then the reptilians are feeding off of that.
The Lush.
And that's how they're essentially weakening us.
So, like from your guys' perspective, then you don't see like reptilians as being like a physical being. Cause you know, like reptilian, the whole concept is pretty mixed up where you have people that are thinking that there's like shape shifting reptilians. You got the ones that think that they kind of will, like, I don't want to say possess a person, but you'll have that thing where their face will kind of like morph and it'll look kind of almost like dragon like. I guess like what's your guys' perspective on it? What do you guys think the reptilians are exactly?
I think that's the only way they can probably interact physically, is to get in some form. If they're operating on a whole nother dimensional level, who's to say that they might not be operating off the electromagnetic spectrum of our bodies and getting into there and possessing somebody? Like, I think Mike and I talk about it all the time, how we think demonic possession is most likely some type of, we don't even think of it as like that aspect of paranormal, but it might be otherworldly on a dimensional level. So that's that. I think if you're dealing with, because then a lot of people that say that they have encountered, there are people that say that they have encountered reptilians at night, especially like in the shadow figure realm. So there has to be some way that they can interact with us for them to get not just a collective feeling, but individuals, because certain individuals get it worse than others, for sure.
Just kind of a weird concept I was thinking of while you were saying that. So, you know, if there's you within multiple dimensions, and if there's like, imagine like a pin that gets put all the way through where like all of the different versions of you through all these different dimensions are connected. Theoretically, if there was like a reptilian and they were able to like step into that light, do you think they might be able to like control or kind of block the light, I guess, from like the other ones? And in turn, they could kind of like cast a shadow and kind of direct which way the ones below are able to see? Kind of, I don't know, kind of an out there concept, but.
Well, no, that kind of makes sense. If you really look at something like the pineal gland, you know, and how most of us, you know, that's become hardened within you, and it keeps you from seeing certain astral realms or seeing your true self or whatever it may be, you know, operating on certain vibrational frequencies. That would make a lot of sense if that reptilian entity, or if that, you know, the Archon was blocking that in some sort of way. That makes a whole lot of sense. And that's why people that do a lot of meditating and astral travel and projecting, you know, they are open in that, you know, they have that pineal gland a little more open to the world and to other dimensions. And that's why they're able to see themselves in other lives, you know, and see the other iterations of themselves. It'd make a whole lot of sense. It's out there. This is all out there, but.
Yeah, I like getting out there on their theories.
It circles back to the MyLab stuff and the 20 and back, because a lot of that, and for like Project Stargate and those things where they used alleged intuitive empaths, people, you know, that could more easily communicate with these, whatever these entities are. And on top of it, like Mike said, astral travel, remote view, and see and, you know, manifest actual physical experiences, apparently, and all within spending 20 years and being age regressed in some magical way, which we still have no idea how that happened. So I think a lot of these people are definitely, like Mike said, more open to communicating with it in the secret space program. I think there's a lot to do. I think if there is truth to it, there is a special type of person that's not just the person brought to the Mars slave colony. There's the people that are actually having to communicate with these beings, whether they be, you know, the grays, because even with the grays, you're talking about people who have experiences where it's all telepathic, no words, nothing. So there's got to be something within us that we might not be able to communicate like we're communicating. But even with Sasquatch, you've heard that people have, you know, had telepathic thoughts like, get away from my tree, you know, like something like, or some bad feeling. Just, I think the interdimensional stuff has a lot more weight than a lot of other things to explain things away. But that's just,
I mean, getting into like the 20 and back concept, I guess there's two ways you could look at it. You can look at it as it's some straight, just like MK Ultra, like mind control. They just will like throw memories into your head and make you think that something happened. And it's maybe just like a test to see if it'll work. And then you have people running around saying they're doing 20 and backs, and it's just them knowing that their mind control or implanting thoughts is actually working. And then on the other side of the spectrum, there's actually the concept of it actually happening, and you're able to pluck somebody out of where they are theoretically. But my question is, like, how would that work exactly? Like, does that mean that there's an essential timeline no matter what, and maybe they're theoretically like plucking people out of like side timelines to put them into like this main timeline? Or do you think that it's like a concept of they just are taking from one timeline and throwing people into like another side timeline that they have something kind of happening on? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out exactly like where, what, like there, if there's multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, like they're working on one specifically, I'd assume. Like, it wouldn't make sense to kind of just have people bouncing all over the place.
I mean, that's possible. So, I mean, let's say you broke it down evenly. Let's say you had 5-year stints. So you could take a version of a person from one timeline for 5 years, and then take another iteration of the person from another, you know, a different 5 years, from 5 to 10 years, from a different timeline, from 10 to 15, from 15 to 20. And that in itself, you know, if you're talking about memories as they pertain to the different versions of yourself, that might feel like you did live those 20 years, when in reality you really only, maybe you didn't, you know, maybe the other iterations of you live those years, but you didn't physically. That's one way of looking at it. But also the way I look at it is, if they're taking certain people and putting them into a 20 and back program, this technology is obviously extraterrestrial in nature. So look at travel with extraterrestrials. It's not distance that they're traveling, it's time that they're traveling. So if they've mastered the ability to travel through time as a way to go across distances, then who's to say that they haven't mastered the ability to turn back time within certain realms or within certain constraints?
See, because that's kind of my logic behind it, is that, like, if you take somebody out of the timeline, they live 20 years, they're going to age 20 years. So not only is it that technology that they're able to put somebody back in that time, but they'd also have to have some type of, like, age digression technology too, in order to put you back at the proper age for where you were. Because, like, theoretically, even if you got plucked to another time, you're still going to age. So even if they put you back into that spot 20 years ago, you'd still have that 20 years aged on you, unless there was a whole other type of technology to revert your age back. But a lot of the people I've talked to that have had this experience claim that that's how it goes down, but they still have this, like, subconscious memory where it's like, they don't feel it in their forefront. Like, they just know something's off. Like, one guy I was talking to, he was saying that he was, like, attracted to, like, 30-year-old women. He didn't know why, and he was, like, 10. And it was just, like, weird stuff like that. Like, they can't erase the subconscious, but they can erase, like, the forefront of your mind. But it still, like, lingers in there. Or, again, maybe that's just part of, like, the side effects from if they do have some type of, like, age digression technology to put you back into that exact time. Because, I don't know, there's just a lot of different working components, I feel, that would have to fit together in order to make it that flawless as it sounds.
Yeah. And one, like, I guess, like, thinking about it at a real elementary level, that I've always tried to, you know, bend my mind around, especially the way that Mike puts it, it's in, you know, the way that we're putting it now, it makes it really hard to understand that. Because if you're talking about a physical realm of somebody being taken out of their timeline as maybe a 10-year-old and brought until they're 30 years old, what about not just the time part, but the physical portion? You have your family, your kids just kidnapped for 20 years and then shows back up 20 years later in the future as a 10-year-old. So that's like putting it, even asking that question on a physical, like, elementary level, how would that even work?
Unless it's, you know, like a fragment of the timeline where, like, when you take somebody out, like, the timeline is, like, fragmented. And then in order to correct the timeline, you have to put that person back at that time, and it's just the timeline itself that corrects itself and puts that person back to that age, even though they may still subconsciously have the memory. So maybe it's not like a technology. It could be like just theoretical time trying to correct itself.
That brings us to Sim.
Also, it could have nothing to do with physically taking someone. It could be the astral body of someone. It could be the consciousness of someone. And to you, your consciousness is you. Your consciousness is interpreting time and space and experiences. So who's to say that they're not taking these consciousness and taking them for these 20-year periods? And to someone, it seems like it's 20 years, but maybe it's not 20 years. You know, it's 20 years within the astral realm, or it's 20 years within this other dimension. But to them, it's a couple seconds. It's a couple minutes. Maybe you're spacing out, and all of a sudden, you snap back into your body, and you're like, holy shit, what just happened? No?
True.
We're thinking in the physical realm of it, but in that's... that's a little harder to understand and to explain if you're looking at it from the physical realm. But if you're looking at it from a consciousness level, You know, it's easier to hypothetically, I would imagine it would be easier to steal somebody's consciousness for 20 years in another dimension than it is to take their entire body.
We're doing it now.
And to age regression.
Mm-hmm. Just another theory too. I mean, say that there's two primary timelines, like one's the alternative, one's like the main timeline. So if you swap, like we're kind of saying that if there's like your consciousness and you within multiple timelines, if they're able to like swap the bodies of yourself, or not bodies, but like the consciousness of yourselves between those two timelines, you'd have this one timeline that they're trying to progress and do this specific thing in, and then the other timeline would be like the standard timeline. And in turn, after the 20 and back, everybody in the main timeline would be totally okay and just kind of be like, oh, something weird happened. But then on the other side, you'd have this person that lived a totally normal life, and then they get thrown back into the body of somebody that's in the middle of, you know, what was going on with their 20 and back. And that reality is just all a bunch of like mentally fucked up people that don't know what the hell's going on. And then you have the corrected timeline. And I mean, that could kind of even flow into the whole Mandela effect thing where it seems like there's two main converging timelines. Maybe those are the two main converging timelines.
Hmm. Good theories.
Well, we don't, we like you said, the consciousness is a whole different reality than our physical reality. You know, we perceive what we perceive ourselves internally and then what we perceive externally that becomes internally. It's two different things. So yeah, you don't even have to, like you're saying, you don't even have to leave your body, but you can't, but there's, I mean, there's ways to do it. Obviously with psychedelics, there's definitely ways to leave your body. So if we can do it with organic chemicals, I'm pretty sure that someone somewhere or even us has the technology to do that with a machine.
And maybe that's the root of the technology and where it came from. Maybe it uses that factor. There's something, some kind of chemical compound that's found within that that makes it so that this transition can happen through time and stuff. Because maybe that's why you have temporary time loss, is because you haven't like isolated the exact chemical that you need in order to be able to pull off consciousness time travel or whatever you want to call it.
Think about anesthesia. Mm-hmm. Where do you go when you're under anesthesia? If you're in an induced coma, where are you at? You know, like, especially if it's a duration of time. So who's to say that there's a who's to say that there's not a technology that can induce a coma or induce that type of amnesia from anesthesia without your physical body actually stopping and being in a bed?
Just that's a weird thing shit to think about too. Spinning off of that, does that mean that if you do have one of those crazy coma dreams where, like, you know, those people will like live a full life within their coma, do you think that if that is some other dimension or reality, that everybody that has that going on is within the same reality and dimension? Like, that's just a weird, crazy concept to think about. Like, does everybody who goes on anesthesia go to the same place?
Ooh.
That's a good.
You're dealing with the same chemicals and reactions. So that's an interesting. But this is why we got to get psychedelics into the mainstream field for helping people out. Cause now you can do studies, you know, on what people experience instead of just, you know,
I'll have to look into that.
Write laws that don't do it.
I wonder if there's anybody that's like known each other within the coma, within like a coma. And then when they woke up, they didn't know each other in like the real world, but they were like, hey, like, You were there. Mm. It's almost like that Wizard of Oz type of thing, you know? Like, yeah, you were there.
You were a lion.
You were a gray, and you were a giant mantis being.
Well, don't they kind of
do that? We were all slaves on the red planet.
Don't they kind of do that in like, well, they do it in the Avenger movies a lot, where they're playing with timelines and moving people around. I believe especially in the new Spider-Man movie, there's like what, five different timelines of different Spider-Mans all at once. So they're all pointing at each other.
Do you think that's controlled ops? Do you think they're intentionally trying to put all this stuff in like media so that when it actually all hits the fan, people don't freak the fuck out? Like, been trying to do for Aliens forever. It took them like what, 60 years, 70 years now before they're like, yeah, if you guys see UFOs, like, let us know. Like, soft disclosure, you got to trickle it a little bit at a time. So, like, right now, they're talking about the concepts of, like, crazy time, parallel jumping, all this kind of shit. And then, like, 60 years from now, they're going to be like, well, maybe we've been doing some technology like that, but we just now have it.
Yeah, think about the things that they've been declassifying as of lately. Like, why? What's the reason for it? Like, you kept it a secret since, you know, the 40s, the 50s, the 30s, whatever it may be. And now all of a sudden you're just going to release it and you're going to show us, oh, you've been spending millions of dollars trying to figure out how people can astral travel. Like, why? For what reason? What is the reasoning behind that?
And then they make movies like The Many Stare at Goats, and then they're just trying to make it as look as ridiculous as possible to try to make it so that the mainstream will hear these concepts and just be like, oh, that's bullshit. You saw that movie. It was just a joke. Everybody was joking around, trying to cover their own asses, man.
It's like making Space Force with Steve Carell. It's like everybody had to laugh at it because it's for us to take it seriously at all, there had to be something to legitimize it. So making a show off of something, you have many movies that depict every branch of the military. So why not create something that might be funny, you know, in that way to get people to start thinking about it? It makes me, when you said that, it makes me really start to see, maybe it's the mindset now I'm looking for it instead of just using it as just pure, oh, that movie's coming out, I can't wait for it. But think about Oppenheimer, the movie that's coming out in July. That has a stacked cast. And it's about nuclear war.
I haven't even heard of that one yet.
Oh, it looks, I think it's a teaser. It looks awesome. But the conditioning, what have we been talking about for the last 9 months? It's back in the saddle of the news. So in the big, well, whatever the news is, but you know,
what happened to the whole thing? Everybody was talking about the Soviets or the Russians, whatever you want to call them, having that sub that could take out the UK with like an atomic blast and just have radioactive water completely cover the whole entire island. that was like all over the news, and then I haven't heard anything about it now. But it still exists somewhere, or it was just bullshit from the first place, and they don't really have something like that, and they were just trying to scare people to think that they had something like that, because that's the second thing you do. If you can't create it, you just tell people you have it, and everybody is afraid that you do have it. But then you open a door where other people will try to create something just like what you have.
Yeah. I think that's kind of been the move with this whole Russia thing. I think, and I think... I'm not saying that Putin is a good guy. I will not go that far. There's definitely a war going on. There's definitely some sort of, you know, rockets being shot into apartment buildings and stuff like that. But when it comes to the media kind of painting him as this guy who's like ready at any moment to drop a nuke on America, or, you know, he's ready to commit war crimes or anything like that. Like, I think that in itself is just exactly what it is. They're trying to create an enemy. You know, they've even gone as far as to look at a lot of his news conferences and stuff like that and do the translations. And he talks about how America is setting up these nukes, and who knows, you know, is he playing the game too and just kind of passing the blame to us as we're passing the blame to him? And whoever hits the button first, you know, it is what it is. By that time, we don't care. But I do think that when it comes to that, I think there is a lot of misinformation. I think there is a lot of, you know, these things that they're putting on Putin, putting on Russia, that aren't really true. It's like, you know, a couple months ago, they mentioned that Putin had some sort of brain rot going on.
Cancer, right?
That he was losing his mind. Brain tumor, brain cancer, dementia, early onset Alzheimer's, you know, like everything that they could throw at this guy to say that, like, he's essentially losing his mind. And then they never spoke of it again. It's like,
he's cured.
That is the move of propaganda campaigns, is to come up with the most ludicrous, outlandish shit that you can and rapid fire it out to see what sticks.
And a lot of it does stick, and it changes the way the culture on both sides. I think when you're dealing with two countries that are for so long have been economically intertwined, and then realistically, if people don't want to believe it, politically intertwined, and you're dealing with two of the largest countries with their own propaganda machines that are state-run, government-run. It's not independent news. You're not dealing with, you know, there's obviously the podcast world and other independent news stations are definitely popping up, but they don't have the weight of the propaganda machines that both sides have. And I think having we both have people on both sides doing the same thing and duping each other within each other's walls on both sides. So I think that there's definitely a setup, especially with, like you're saying, trickling things in, like the Oppenheimer movie coming out, and then all of the other movies and alien shows that we get. I think it's, and I know Michael will probably agree with me, I think it's just really bringing us down to one mode of control to start a larger war. And especially with the UFO thing, because as much as interesting as it would be that there actually could be flesh and blood extraterrestrials that are on our plane that are coming here, and if they do come here, they might not be as nefarious as we thought, because we're the ones that are perpetuating the situation, to, at least like we talk about it in Project Bluebeam, you know, where fake alien invasion, ultimately that's what the trickle effect is for, to get everybody conditioned. Like, so are we going to get people conditioned to start watching atomic bomb movies again too? So it's, and that stuff sticks. It sticks in your head. Mm-hmm. for especially now, especially in the last 5 to 7 years, stuff it used to feel like entertainment. Now it feels like propaganda, which I think now I'm looking for it. And I think a lot of us weren't looking for it for a while. And then we're like, it clicked in the last couple of years. We're like, what the fuck is going on, man? Like, everything's literally happening. Like Mike said, 90 days, the 90-day probation period, and all of a sudden, boom, there's your new thing that happened that's fact.
It almost makes you wonder if they're trying to make it so that people can't separate fiction from reality, or if it's the fact that everything that we've been taught is fiction is actually reality, and it's just a matter of trickling it back into whatever mode of thinking they want you to be at any specific time. And I mean, even going into like Project Bluebeam, have you seen all the crazy stuff with drones they can do now? Like, I was watching some video where they're creating like eyes up in the sky, and then you have these like lasers that you can point at stuff and it'll create sounds like on the other side of the laser. And then you have like the bubble hearing things, like, you know, going into like the voice of God that they had supposedly back in the 1920s, where they could project a voice into somebody's head. Like, they already have all the tools to be able to do it. And even though people know this technology exists, if it's right in front of them, like, everybody's going to go into panic mode, because all you had to do was tell people that, you know, everything going on with COVID, and everybody went into panic mode. All you got to do is put some drones up in the sky, make it look like a spaceship, and no doubt in my mind, no matter what you say, everybody's going to be instant panic mode. And then at that point, you can take full control over everything and say, everybody needs to listen to us right now. Get in your house, do this, do this, do that, do that.
And then we already had a dress rehearsal of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think that's all it was. I think that's all COVID really was a dry run. I think it was, let's see how much disinformation we can put out about this, you know, this threat, this worldwide threat, and see what we can get away with as far as, you know, putting people in lockdowns and making people do stuff that they didn't want to do. And, oh, well, how can we get people to take this? Oh, well, you know, threaten their livelihood. Tell them they can't leave the house. Tell them they can't go to the grocery store. Tell them they can't see their family. You know, and at the same time, you know, you have viral videos of nurses and doctors that are supposedly in overcrowded, flooded hospitals doing TikTok dances. How does that work? You know, it's like this weird dynamic that they set up to be like, all right, on one end of the scale, we are going to completely be authoritarian with everything that we're doing as far as it comes to your citizenship. But on the other end of it, we're going to put this fun little twist on it, and this little, you know, it's like the feel good moments of, oh, we're coming together. Everybody's getting vaccinated and we're all doing this. And we're, you know, I did it to help my father and blah, blah, blah. You know, they set up these things to make it seem like we're coming out of this and we're doing well and we're better than we were before. And look at how we all came together to beat this. But in reality, what it is look at how many people came together to give up everything. Look at how many people came together to get rid of an entire group of people or to shun an entire part of our community or, you know, to go to their own family members and say, hey, I can't be around you because you don't have this.
It's still happening.
I think, yeah, it's still happening. It's going to continue to happen. It's going to dip back into it. And now all of a sudden you have these like ridiculous flus going around. What's that going to be like? Okay, well, you guys got to get the flu vaccine and you got to, you know, I think it's all just, let's see how far we can push these people before there is a breakage. And if you look at the past almost 3 years now, they've pushed pretty damn far. And I think that they probably could have pushed a little further and people would still go along with it because they, if you look at it, the majority of the public still believes in their government. Their government can lie to them. They can kill them. They can treat them like garbage. They could take away everything. But at the end of the day, people will still sit there and go, I doubt that the government really wants to kill me.
Daddy wouldn't do that.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Exactly. It's like the, you know, it's like that beaten spouse syndrome, you know, where you're like, yeah, you know, they may hit me and they may beat me up and they may call me a piece of trash, but deep down they really love me.
It's tomorrow they'll be better.
You got Stockholm syndrome. Yeah, exactly. You got people, tomorrow they'll be better. I can fix him.
Yeah, well, you got people that are, you know, still stuck in, you know, the loop, and they got, you know, I don't want to be mean to anybody, but a lot of people got duped, you know, like you got, and the people that are still, you're a problem, we can't have get togethers even now, 2022, you can't come home for Christmas or whatnot. If that's happening to you, that sucks. I'm sorry. But, you know, now things
come
are
hang out with me.
Yeah.
You come hang out with any of these podcasters. We're all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're good.
And we, you know, we're coming into another season of that happening, but now things are getting really, really weird with it where like in California, they just stopped the COVID pay if you get COVID at work. So if you get COVID at work and you're out for 10 days,
not to be too personal, but that is currently happening with Frank, which is really why he's not here with us. Yep.
Oh, COVID, the Rona. Yeah, he got the Rona.
He's off for like 10 days, no pay. That's it.
That's what my work was doing. They had the pay, and then I don't know if it was a state law that changed it or the company itself changed it, because there was a girl that said she had COVID, got 2 weeks paid off, got COVID on her 2 weeks paid off, and then had to take another 2 weeks off, and they didn't pay her for that. And then after that, they stopped paying the whole company. So I don't know if it was a state thing or her specifically, but it was just weird timing out of their way. So it
just takes one person. That's all it is.
I've heard a lot of companies recently too. You know, like when my last job, you had to average what, 32 hours, something like that, to have full-time insurance to even qualify for in some companies. Some places it was 40 hours, but a few companies of people that I know, where they've had to be out and they, you know, you have to be out in that mandated 10 days, their companies deducted those days as days not there. So they lost their health insurance.
Damn.
Come open enrollment this year. So like, and that's shifty. That shouldn't be happening. So I don't know if that's obviously not a state or county run thing. That's within those companies themselves. But it's like, what are we trying to do? Now you're just making it even worse for people. Yeah. Like, yeah, it cost a lot of money to pay people unemployment. And there was a lot of people stealing money in all the states that had unemployment during the beginning stages of whatever the lockdowns were. But it's almost like they're setting it up to where people are going to be absolutely fucked. It's not toilet paper this time. It's health insurance. And you're going to be screwed if you get sick again. So, and then
you have to listen.
Didn't they just roll out on October 23rd a new a new simulation of another type of virus that has more lethality than COVID. The same people that did it almost to the day 3 years ago, right before COVID.
See, one thing I've kind of been wondering is if, I don't know, like everything that we've been talking about is almost, if you're trying to get into like the space concept, if it's kind of like ushering people to theoretically be part of a like galactic federation, because essentially when it comes down to all these different species, they all work together. They all work as one. They all have that hive mind mentality of work, 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 you know, obey, obey, obey. So I don't know, maybe it's prepping us for that. And that's what like, you know, the all this tracking stuff is for everybody specifically, is because assumably all of these extraterrestrial races are probably have the same kind of setup where they have trackers. They're not really like individuals. They're kind of just working for the group mentality, and they're trying to just get everybody into that mode and method of thinking so that we could become part of like the galactic world. But I guess it's, you know, their method of thinking that they want us to act like the rest of everybody else. But humans are, I don't know. It seems like we just appear to be different than most other things that exist in the universe, even just like off of like, I don't want to say our mental capacity, because we aren't creating as crazy of things, but you know, theoretically, if you know, we've been around for the same amount of time as some of these beings have been around for, maybe we would be more advanced at that time, because maybe we are more capable, and that's why they're trying to repress us so much in order for us to, what they think is saving us so that we can be part of this galactic world.
Yeah, it's a lot of these things tie into that. I think the secret space program has almost everything to do with our current situation too. Look this way, do that. Then, you know, we look right. Everybody does something on the left. You know, we look up, everybody does something while you're not looking there. And, I think it's a big setup. I think we're just going through, and it's probably been going on for a couple hundred years now, where it's just a gradual slow push where everybody just, at least at whatever the top is. And I think we even said it in our Tavistock Institute episode, where one of the Rothschilds that Rothschild that helped fund it. Rothschild. Mm-hmm. And
and the Milner said, group.
Yeah. I don't need a country of thinkers. I need a country of workers. Mm-hmm. He said, so just, yeah, hive mind. And that's what you got. But I think a lot of people are waking up, and I really don't think you're going to get the full consciousness, at least in our country, to be on that hive mind. You might get it throughout California, like New York.
Oh, easily.
Some of the different places, but there's going to be far different looking map if they decide to pull something like that off again, which I don't think they'll be able to do. And if they do pull it off, it's going to have to be brutally deadly. Because all the stuff we saw in the beginning, in March, all the videos we saw coming from China were most likely
people
staged.
Are falling dead in the streets.
Yeah, a lot might have been staged. And I think that the vaccine rollouts were, I mean, sure, they had it when they started this, and they were just buying time. What a social experiment to have to tell somebody. It's never happened in our lifetimes where they're like, you can't go to work.
Dude, I thought they were joking when I first heard that. Yeah. And they were like, you have to have my dad called me. He's like, you have to have a work pass to leave your house. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I work somehow, I don't know how it falls in the category, but I work in medical cannabis. So, you know, that falls as medical. So I had to work. I work through everything. Like,
thank goodness. Thank goodness for you, because you saved me throughout.
Dude, our sales have never been higher.
But it did create a lot of problems. I mean, it created a lot of division. It's also created a lot of real despair, alcoholism, more drug use. The violence has ramped up. You can clearly see that whatever social experiment was done on us has definitely brought out that darker energy, which could bring you back to us getting looshed up by the reptilians, you know,
they've even more so normalized mental illness through all of this too. Yeah. Going off of what you're saying.
Yeah. So we've come, I think in my lifetime, I have not seen so much change in such a short period of time, especially when it comes to the way people think. It was very consistent throughout the first, you know, throughout my teens, 20s, and then as soon as early 30s hit, boom, I'm like, wait, did I just wake up in one of these 20 and back programs right now, because like, where the hell am I? You know,
just makes you wonder how it might be in the future, because it's like, as time goes on, everything progresses and gets more advanced. So, you know, if this happened and it moved and went by as easily as it could for them, like, imagine what the next wave of, I don't want to say it's going to be like an illness, but just the next wave of them pushing people to do something is going to be. And I mean,
Neuralink.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. My idea is the whole Neuralink, because the scariest part about that is theoretically you get that and there's updates for it, and you can't get the updates unless you do whatever they say. Or theoretically, just another idea, they could have like a whole team of hackers, and the only way that you get unhacked, even though they pretend like it's not their fault, they're like, oh no, but the only way that we can fix your program is if you agree to this, you got to agree to this, you got to agree to this, and then we can go in and we'll fix everything and we'll put new blockers in. But then, you know, I don't know, man, that whole idea just is way too Black Mirror for me. Like, there's the episodes where they can block out people's vision and then they can't see other people, and that's how they do the whole like jail time type sentence. And I don't know, man, anytime that anybody can mess with my perception of reality, like, I'd rather just stay organic as much as possible. Like, even coming from somebody with glasses, if you told me that I have this thing, you can change out part of your eye and then you'll be able to see like a sniper rifle scope, like, I'm good, man. I'll just wear my glasses.
No. Yeah, they've worked long enough. I think we can continue to have people to wear glasses. It's weird too. Like, we talked about it with the cars too. Same company with Tesla, even Tesla being the forerunner of that stuff. I don't think it has anything to do with saving the environment, because it's obviously you're dealing with the same dirt power to run that shit. I think it has to do with more control. Your car is registered in California. You want to go to Arizona. Your stuff isn't up. You haven't done what you needed to do. Car shuts off at the border.
Yep.
Locked out. Easy peasy.
Not to mention more money, so it's harder for people to travel. Because think about the whole concept too of how much the batteries cost. People are talking about how when the batteries go out, they cost like $30,000 to get the fucking battery replaced.
As much as the car so you itself trick, before taxes.
You yeah. trick everybody into switching to electric, and then once their batteries go, nobody can afford a car again. And then, boom, like half the population can't drive anymore because no more gas engine exists, which was affordable for like a normal person to be able to deal with and fix and, you know, make run.
Big bombshell in that was this past week, them talking about they found a new particle or a new way of creating limitless power. They said the beginning stages of that.
Fusion.
Fusion power. Mm-hmm. So that's something to really, really watch, because that's another little thing that a lot of people, just like the disclosure stuff that started, you know, the past 2 years, where literally the Pentagon said, we have craft that are of off-world origin, and not a soul batted an eye. There's like 10 of us over here that are like, what the fuck did they just say? Like, but it's gone through the headlines. So this whole power thing is going to be one of those things where they throw the little breadcrumb in the pond and maybe three or four fish bite at it, but the majority of the pond ain't going to bite at it, and they're going to miss it. And it's baiting. We're getting fucking trolled, man. That's what I'm saying. Trolled.
You know, I see that fusion thing in a completely different light.
Do to tell.
Yeah, please do.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just more negative.
cynical bastard.
I think that the fusion thing is a setup for a false flag.
That's kind of where
reason
I was
being with that. So I think the reason behind that is, so the idea of fusion would be that we have a never-ending supply of energy. That's essentially the entire idea behind fusion. If you provide a source of never-ending energy, then that puts a whole lot of energy companies out of business, large conglomerate businesses. I don't think that they're going to allow that to happen. If you have the ability to create fusion, you also have the ability to create fusion engines, which could be put into cars. Sure, you could sell a car for $100,000 and only sell it once, you know, and that car will run forever, and they'll make money off of that, and they could, but ultimately they don't want that. It's like, you know, it's like the cure for a disease. They don't want to give a cure for a disease because they make more money off of the person being sick. It's the same for energy. They don't want to make money off of something that is never ending. They want to make money off of something that you have to continuously get: gasoline, oil. I also think that fusion, let's say a fusion reaction in a negative sense, an explosion, could be massive. Fusion explosion could be a massive, massive thing. So let's say that you have one of these laboratories that's working on, you know, cold fusion or some sort of fusion for never-ending energy, and the plant goes up and it explodes and it kills, you know, a million people around the plant. You know, it's in a high-density metro area. Nobody would ever touch fusion again. They would never do it. They wouldn't even allow it. They would make laws. There would be a law in place the next week. You could work on fusion. No scientists, no scientific endeavors into fusion or anything along those lines. They just wouldn't allow it.
Just like it took it'd be a hard stop right there.
Unless that's intentional, because maybe they want people to try to fuck with it, fuck shit up, then they can make laws about it, and then they can be the only ones working on it, and nobody else can have that technology.
Mm-hmm. It goes hand in hand with everything, like the pharmaceutical industry, the energy industry. Like, they make the bulk of the money. And how much money did Pfizer and Moderna make in the last couple of years is ridiculous over something that was a global health crisis, but we're still making money. So that's why they're never going to stop pushing for fossil fuels and using gas and oil. And I we could probably figure out how to do without coal. That's pretty dirty.
Easily.
Yeah. Easily. But they're not going to let that up, just like they're not going to let up. The foot is on the gas when it comes to rolling out their whatever they're doing with the vaccine technology. They've even changed the verbiage on the flu shot. It's not the flu shot anymore. It's the flu vaccine. Now people have it programmed in their head like, oh, I have to get the vaccine for the flu. But how many measles, mumps, rubella vaccines have you gotten in your life since you were a baby? You know, that was a vaccine. So I hate the vaccine talk, but it's definitely something that's really eye-opening now, because it's something that we've implemented in the world, and it's something we've never seen in our lives.
Well, it's normalizing it, because now they've gotten rid of that barrier of, here, just put this random thing in your body, because not even just pertaining to COVID, but like anything theoretically in the future, it could be like nanoparticles, could be whatever the hell. It's just they've normalized and made it a regular thing for people to get shots and to put things in their body. And the more you push it along, the more that whole freedom of getting to choose what goes in and out of your body gets stripped away. So then eventually you get to a point where they're just like, all right, fuck it. You got to get this. You got to get this. You got to get this. And nobody has any say or any freedom to be able to say anything back against it.
Have you guys ever heard of co-occurring conditions?
Like having two conditions at once.
So a co-occurring condition is something, let's say a disease or a virus that causes another disease or a virus. So I'm just the negative person. Let's say that all the vaccines were pretty much a co-occurring virus. They injected everyone with a virus. And now what they're planning for is the part two of that virus. What will activate the virus in those people? Whether it be an airborne cold that they've developed or altered in just a small tweak, could be this new flu that's going around that's super, super contagious and people are having problems breathing.
It took me a month to get over that.
I mean, they could just start making stuff specific to certain groups of people. That could have been what happened with the whole monkeypox thing, is they were just trying to test out if they can make stuff tweaked to only interfere with certain groups of people.
Mm. And maybe that's why certain people got hit with COVID and felt like they were going to die, and others just didn't show anything, asymptomatic.
Well, yeah, having something occur from something. I mean, I could say that happened to me with just having COVID. You know, I haven't had any asthma problems since I was a teenager. Now I'm on daily steroids. And that happened not during COVID, But the months that followed, I progressively got worse and worse and worse. Albuterol wasn't doing it. So then I had to go on to an inhaled powder steroid that I'm still on almost a year later. And if I don't take
That's
it for a couple
cocaine.
Days, no. It's in the
thing. Not oh, okay. Sorry. Different type.
Yeah. Different booger sugar. but I have to take it now. And I went to the doctor recently and, you know, I'm on antibiotics, shaking this cold that I thought I could shake for, I've had it for just before Thanksgiving. So I thought I could shake it, couldn't shake it. And asked the doctor, and she was just like, yeah, your asthma is horrible right now. And I'm like, yeah, but it just started this year and I don't have any of the vaccines. So I definitely wouldn't have got it from that. But I think COVID itself has activated lots of things in people. Cause I know a few people that haven't had the vaccine, have had COVID, menstrual cycle is completely fucked now.
You that know, happened that, to my you know, wife.
And yep. that's like Mike's saying, like, could that in itself, I think we all can agree and maybe even agree to disagree that COVID was probably a bioweapon to test out to see how it was. I think we all can, and I think the heads may not necessarily roll, but the truth will come out and those people will still not believe that that's the truth.
Hey man, there was the Pfizer documents and people still didn't want to believe everything that those were. Even in the mainstream news, man, that was just like skipped over there. Like Pfizer documents, bye. Everybody yep. forgot they even existed.
Just like NASA getting rid of their technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can make it to Mars, but we can't make it to the moon. Just that one of the best lines I've heard in years.
Come on, that's difficult.
Well, yeah, bringing it full circle to with the secret space program. I don't know what their end game in lying to us about hiding. I mean, I could see why they would want to hide a secret space program from the general public. It's obviously a national security issue. I think one of you guys said that in the beginning of this, you know, if somebody else has it, we're fucked. And, or you can go down those rabbit holes. The secret space program is just perpetuating us to not get off the rock because it's not a spinning ball or, you know, whatever you believe in. But I think in general, there's definitely something going on in the sky. And if it's ours or something else, I'm after more years of talking about it, I think I'm more leaning to us being it being us, at least reverse engineered or some type of thing or a mixed bag. So if we got Mars colonies out there, I want to see it. I want to know. But Elon Musk will let us know soon enough, I'm sure.
Maybe. They'll keep that one secret.
Probably Elon.
There's nothing there. They're going to be in the middle of like a desert, even though they know everything around it is populated with other races. They're just going to pick a spot in the center and just pretend like there's nothing there. Because, of course, that would be what they do anyways.
Surrounded by gold and diamond mountains.
It's like, have you guys seen My Favorite Martian where they're driving the Mars rover around in the beginning? And they're like, oh, yeah, there's a rock. And then the thing dies and they're like, oh, yeah, great exploration. And right over the hill, there's like this whole civilization. And we drive around little rovers and be like, this is where we are. This is all there is. And then right over the ridge.
I think if space is a real luck. Space is what we've taught it is. The powers that be must have something extraordinary. That's my thought. And why the hell would you tell us about it? We're the little peasants that, you know, live on the surface.
I mean, even just in a more flat version of it too. I mean, if you tell people that extraterrestrials exist and all that kind of stuff happens, you throw religion out the window. So you're throwing half your control over the world out the window just by telling them that stuff exists.
Yeah.
Or everybody's just going to hop onto the alien religion, the intergalactic religion.
Which is,
you know, like I thought the same thing. We talked to Nick Pope. If you're not familiar with Nick Pope, he's a ufologist. He worked for the UK Ministry of Defense. He's a guy with the know. And I've always had that thought is like, if you introduce the idea of extraterrestrials to the public, then what happens to religion? And, you know, he put it very succinctly. It's like religion doesn't go away. It just adapts. You know, you have already the Pope is saying that, you know, why can't God create aliens? He created us. He may have created aliens. We don't know all the things that God has created.
They have the largest telescope in North America, Vatican.
Yeah, they know. They know.
They know.
Isn't that thing named after like a demon or something too?
I think so. Was it the Lucifer telescope,
yeah, isn't it
right?
Lucifer isn't it or something? The, yeah.
Yeah.
They know. They know. The morning
Nick
star.
Nick Pope was an extraordinary guy to talk to. And you can tell that, you can tell from talking to a guy when we had a bunch of questions that we wanted to ask him, and you can tell if we did ask him, because I've heard him be asked these questions in previous, in years previous in other interviews, and I'm like, we can't ask these questions because he's going to be like, well, I can't really talk about that, and we're like, fuck, he knows something, like he's you know he's not going to tell you. So that's what made him super fascinating, because he's just like, he's just biting his tongue the whole time. He gave us what he could. He's a smart ass guy, but I was like, this cool guy has so much very more cool knowledge, and I want to ask him these questions, but we'll never see him again if he answers them. So, mm-hmm.
So can't have that happen. I guess starting to wrap it up now, since I know when you guys said you had to get going here soon.
Yes, sir.
I always like to leave the show with words of wisdom to kind of try to leave it a little bit on a high note. I mean, we didn't leave too dark of a note, but just to brighten it up at the end. I guess whatever happens to come to mind, I always like to find some words of wisdom to bestow on the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you got anything? Something happy?
Don't believe the hype.
Don't believe what they're telling you.
Smoke weed. Enjoy food. And just stop looking at the news. Be blissfully ignorant without being ignorant. That's where I'm trying to go. That's my New Year's resolution, is to stop feeding into the psyop. So just live your life. You only got one of them as we know it now. So just do it.
True.
Stop letting these motherfuckers in suits control your fear and the happiness that you can definitely live. So if you want the high note, that's where my brain's at right now. I'm sick of the bullshit, and I'm sick of talking about bullshit. Even though we're a conspiracy show, it's never going to stop. But when you're not talking about the conspiracy shit with your friends or your family, just go outside and take the spotlight from the flat earth and absorb the rays. I don't know. To enjoy it, you know, and just enjoy your time.
Be aware, but live your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. My high note for, I feel like there's a little pressure on me since I'm very negative. My high note is, upon further investigation and research into the subject, I've come to find out that Kanye West and Kim Kardashian's daughter, Northwest, is not the Antichrist. Take stock in that.
That's Elon Musk.
Yeah, and his Xenon child, whatever the hell that kid's name is. X-E-10-A-E-Z.
I named her after a spaceship.
Do you guys want to trade Trump trading cards after this?
Oh, yeah. Listen, you know those things are going to appreciate in value. Those things are going to shoot up in value, especially if he becomes president again. Holy fuck.
$100 a pack.
What did people buy those for? $1,000 a piece? Those things are going to be insane. Insane.
Definitely.
If he gets indicted, oh my God.
Don't invest in
just
crypto.
Just think of the outcomes.
Yeah. Invest in Trump cards.
Trump trading
invest
cards.
In Trump NFTs.
Yep. Yep.
So for anybody that enjoyed the conversation, why don't you guys let them know where they can come and find you guys?
www.hushhushsociety.com. That is the one-stop shop. Literally everything. You got all our links to our social medias, Facebook. We have a Facebook group. Twitter, Instagram. Mike plays around on TikTok. We also have a Discord. We got everything on there. All our episodes, links to Rockfin, our merch store, blogs. You can buy us a coffee. We haven't had one yet. Still waiting. We're in two different time zones, so we need some caffeine. But yeah, that's where you can find us. HushHushSociety.com. It literally is the easiest way to find everything. And if you listen to podcasts on a certain platform, we'll be there.
We're there.
Really appreciate you guys making the time to come on today. This has been a really awesome conversation, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, had a lot of fun.
And with that, if anybody's interested in being a guest on the show, if anybody's interested in sponsoring the show, if anybody has a topic or a guest that they'd like to see on the show, or if you feel that there's anything at all you can contribute to the show, I'd love to hear from you. So you can either shoot me a message on Instagram, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I'm usually the most active on. You can also email me, and the email is inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. You know, even if you just want to shoot me a message and have a conversation, I'd love to hear from you guys. So don't be scared. I don't bite, promise. So you can actually message me through the link tree. There's a little contact thing up at the top. So if you want to do it that way, linktr.ee/inquiriesofourrealitypodcast. And there, again, you will also find the links to everything that I've mentioned on the show and the Instagram. So that's probably the best way to get a hold of me. And with that, I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.